This is Housebound. I'm Chris.
I'm Holly.
I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Greg.
And you're invited. Welcome to Housebound, a podcast we made because we needed company. In it, we talk about things that are on our mind, and in the spirit of the holiday season, we will be talking about gift giving today. I want to do a quick poll at the top of the episode and find out from you three how much, if any, Christmas music have you started listening to? And if you have started listening to it, how long ago did you start listening to it?
Oh, several hours worth. Many, many hours. I started listening to Christmas music the first day it snowed. As soon as there's snow,
that's totally
Christmas.
Fair. Well, and when we got snow, we got like 3 feet of snow.
So much
yes.
snow.
It was very
heavily
much Christmas.
Festive.
Yeah, immediately.
So there was nothing else you could do but sit at home and listen to Christmas music.
Yeah, we set up our tree.
Actually, the first time it snowed, it actually was before the big snow. And it melted that same day, but that was the first day that I started.
Oh, that first little sprinkle that we
got? Yeah, it was weeks before the big snow.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, it's been years since we've had a snow that big. So I feel like everybody, I don't know if anybody really got taken by surprise. We had a lot of warning it was coming, but
yeah, we did.
I think people were slowly getting their Christmas decorations up ahead of time around the city. I noticed that. And I think that the snow just forced people to just turn them on and accept the fact that
it's time.
The holiday season is upon us. Nothing we can do about it now.
Yeah.
Why try to fight it anyways, right?
I am happy to be living in Canada, if for no other reason than the fact that Thanksgiving Day is earlier, so you can celebrate Christmas for longer.
Yeah. I do love Christmas.
It's true. I've been listening to Christmas music for, yeah, quite a while. I think probably before the big dump that we got, but yeah, it was definitely before Remembrance Day, which is always one of those interesting conversations to have is whether can you be festive before Remembrance Day and still be honoring to the day?
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, that is a pretty debatable topic, but luckily we are not in debating moods. We are in festive moods.
Ho-ho.
Nice transition, sir.
Full fest.
And so we wanted to throw together a Christmas episode for our listeners. And we couldn't think of a better topic to talk about than gift giving, because naturally, right? I'm sure that we all love receiving gifts. Many of us love giving gifts. Some of us find it a hassle. Some of us are David Hasselhoff.
Very few of
Boo.
Us.
Boo.
Very few.
Just one. Just one of us. And zero of the current people here.
David Hasselhoff lives inside all of us, okay?
I don't want him to.
Holly Rempel, checks no for Hasselhoff.
But love it or hate it, gift giving is a part of our North American culture, and we tend to embrace it wholeheartedly. I want to talk about some of the things that we do around the Christmas. Doesn't have to be just the Christmas season, but of course we'll slide it towards the holidays. But surrounding gift givings, whatever event that is in your life, birthdays, Valentine's, anniversaries, Christmas, Easter, etc. I want to know some stuff about your gift giving traditions and the things that you love about it and the things that you don't look forward to, but have found an ingenious way to navigate the gift giving season.
My birthday is not actually that close to Christmas. But it is close enough to Christmas. So
it is
my birthday
quite close to Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not like I've a few friends who have birthdays on like December 24th. That's closer. That's worse. And so their experiences are more legitimate than mine. But anyways, my birthday is January 13th. It's like 2 weeks after Christmas or something like that. I don't do math. And so often when I was growing up anyway, I would get one big gift at Christmas that would be like, hey, this is your birthday and your Christmas present because we spent more money on it and we only wanted to think about you once. And I was just like, oh, this is such a pain because now...
Do we know that that's actually the case? Or are they just trying to be smart about doing it all at once?
Okay, well, we're talking about my dad mostly. And my dad barely gives gifts anyways. Usually when he gives gifts, he's like, he watches you open it and then he looks at my mom and he's like, what did we get you? Because he didn't buy it. She did. Which is lovely that he cares at that point anyway. Anyways, so it's just like a pain when your birthday is close to Christmas because people who have their birthdays in like the summertime get this like fun, new... extra celebration of themselves. And but if you're close to Christmas, you're just like, okay, I got one bigger present, which is great, I like the present, but it's not like your birthday isn't as special then, like you're not as special.
Did you do separate birthday parties growing up?
A birthday party, yes, but my cousin's birthday is on January 18th, and she's just a year younger than me, and so we would all also often have joint birthday parties with our families. So it would be like, Holly would blow out the candles, and they would relight them for Ashley to blow out.
Oh, boo!
Or vice versa.
Double the spit on the cake.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I do feel as though, like, with friends and family that have birthdays close to Christmas, that, yeah, I think it's easy for people who don't share the birthday to consider it to be kind of like a hassle where it's like, oh, we have to get, like, two gifts now for the season rather than just one. Yeah. And so it's easier to be like, oh, yeah, we'll just spend, you know, more money to get a bigger gift than we only have to think of it once.
And there's more options once you double the amount that you're spending for the event, then you're like, and then we could also do this and this and this.
It's true. That is true.
But hands down, it is not as great for the birthday-y. considering they are the ones who, yeah, like it's your birthday's meant to be something that's special that we honor. And it's yeah, I can see how those who have like summer or more like springtime and fall. I think, Ashley, your birthday's in summer and you probably have something to say about that.
You think that it's in summer?
No, it is in summer, obviously, but sometimes in Australia, they have different summers. So, you know what?
Good save there, kid.
That was brutal.
It is a good save. Northern Southern Hemispheres. Gotta love them. Thank you, Australia.
Good try.
In the true spirit of the holidays, we're watching a relationship just crumble before our very eyes.
Like everybody's family gathering.
Just like holiday gatherings, yeah.
Let's get back on point, though. Ashlyn, your birthday being in summer does have effects on you that other people who are in fall or spring don't have, right? No, you're not picking up on the cue.
Like, no, I'm not around.
I'll explain your thought that you've already explained to me once. So because Ashlyn's birthday
just the fact that everyone's
is
on
in
holidays?
Summer. Yeah, everyone's on holidays.
Well, and it's over a long weekend.
And it's over a long weekend. So everyone's on double holidays. So it just meant that you had a bunch of kids who like a bunch of classmates who wouldn't be there for your actual party. So you had to end up having to postpone kind of your birthday party?
Well, sometimes we did that on purpose, where we'd postpone it until September when everyone was back together and then do a birthday party in September. You're right. That is something.
I thought
you
were talking about postponing it like a week or something. And I was thinking that's completely normal. Like I would probably not choose to have my birthday party.
It's like a month.
Or a kid's birthday party on like a Wednesday night. I would wait till Saturday or something, you know, even if it wasn't the day. But several months is a bit of a delay.
It was like a month. So
1 month.
Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of a similar sentiment where it's sort of like your birthday isn't on the idealist of days for having people think of you, you know, so in a special, meaningful way. Not that I'm sure your parents did wonderfully on that day, but
they did. I think when it comes to giving gifts, I think it's such a family tradition whether or not to do like practical gifts or fun gifts. At least in my family, like it has almost nothing to do with age. It's like family thing. I find that my parents love to give fun gifts, and if you put a ton of like truly just practical gifts on their list, they'll be like, no. Like, that's not fun for us to give to you. Try again.
What if you consider that fun? Will they bend towards what you prefer, or do they have to also find it fun?
They don't consider it fun to give.
Gotcha.
My favorite gifts to give are always the ones that are going to make them squeal. Like the person the gift. So it doesn't really matter to me if I think it's fun or not. It's just like, are they going, like, and I think squeal is really the best word for it. Are they going to be like, yes, you know, that's the best. Although it's impossible to do for every time you have to give someone a gift.
You just can't, especially during Christmas when there's, you know, 15 people easily that you're buying for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think with your parents, it's a matter of like getting to watch the other person have joy over something and how that's a big part of it. So if it's something that's like kind of like fun and you can kind of see the excitement or see like the, yeah, this is like a really cool, or watch them actually use it like a, like a video game or something like that, then that's a lot more enjoyable. Whereas like my parents, they are like, yeah,
they love the practical gifts.
They love the practical gifts. I mean, your parents did give me a toolbox one time, which that was pretty practical, I would say. In fact, that's probably one of the most practical gifts I've received. And I use it quite frequently. But yeah, I think that with my parents, they tend to go more for, yeah, kind of like books or various different things. Joel will go for kind of like the most random thing he can think of that's still kind of on the fun side. And then
that's funny.
And then, yeah, Mark, it'll just, my brother will just kind of, it'll be a mixed bag. It'll be a bunch of different random things. So, we usually gave gifts on Christmas Eve or before, never on Christmas Day.
The Rhymers, yeah.
Really?
Oh, okay. That was our tradition. And we would open stockings Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know a lot of families have very particular traditions when it comes to opening gifts before or on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
That seems to be, I don't know if it's a new thing, because if it's a tradition, it's probably been happening for a while. But I know that growing up, I was under the impression that Christmas gifts were just left for Christmas Day. But then as I got older, I started to hear about, and usually it's a result of extended family getting together, you know, on Christmas Eve, and then just having smaller family gatherings on Christmas Day. So the extended family also wants to open a few gifts. So you open one on Christmas Eve and then the rest on Christmas Day, or you open just stockings beforehand and then the gifts on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. But as a kid, I think there were a handful of times maybe where we would open maybe one gift ahead of time because grandparents were coming over a couple days before, but usually it was just all left till Christmas Day, which nothing wrong with that. I'm not dunking on opening gifts on Christmas Day for any reason.
Opening gifts on Christmas Day is the best.
But but is it?
I don't know.
Yes.
We did both when I was growing up. Well, actually, I have a strange block of memories of years where I don't actually remember Christmases, but when I was very young, we would open one gift Christmas Eve, and then in the morning the next day, it didn't matter when you got up, you could open your stocking. So that's Christmas Day.
And so then, like, not all together?
Your stocking you could open whenever, but you had to wait for everybody to open the actual gifts.
I mean, non-judgmental, but
yeah, that, because I don't think that they wanted to be up when we were up. So they made us wait for open the actual presents, but the stocking you could open on your own whenever you woke up and start filling up on candy or whatever was in there.
So we had a similar strategy for the same reasons, but different execution. In family, we would attend the Christmas Eve service on the evening of Christmas Eve. and then you'd come home and you'd be able to open your stockings, which generally had candy and usually some sort of like a little goodie or a toy or something to play with. And the idea was that we'd get to open our stockings and like be all excited about it, but then stuff everything back into the stocking and leave it kind of for Christmas morning. So then Christmas morning we would get up and be able to play with our stockings and not disturb Mom.
Oh yeah.
And then when Mom got up and was ready to go and got her Christmas morning sleep in, then we would all be able to open gifts together as a family.
Nice. Yeah.
I want to bring it back just a step to what we were talking about just a few minutes ago, because I'm curious, is, and this is just based on what we've been talking about birthdays being too close to other significant holidays or too far away from other significant holidays, that nobody's around, I guess both ends of the spectrum here. But what is your preference? That you have more smaller, maybe useful, maybe just random generic gifts, or fewer larger, like we were saying, corporate gifts? So people would pool money together and give you like one or two large, like fancy gifts. Like, is there, do you guys have a preference? We don't need to talk about like, oh, I deserve this and I deserve that. I just mean like, what do you like? What is your preference? Are you the kind of person that enjoys like a single big event or a bunch of little goodies?
Quality over quantity, but the friendship is the really the true thing that counts.
Nice save.
No. That's good. That's good. And I think as for me, I want half the kingdom. Rather than just subsections. No, I think, I don't know. I probably have a lot of little gifts, like or a lot of things like that would be on my wish list that would fall under kind of like a somewhat small dollar value somewhat. So yeah. I probably prefer a bunch of small gifts rather than one big one. I don't have too many like larger ticket items that I
yeah, that's
want.
Fair.
So I don't think, I don't know, Ashlyn can probably speak to it better, but I was trying to get Ashlyn to tell me what she got me for Christmas, but okay.
If you know what I should get Greg for Christmas, email at us. Give me gift ideas.
Yes.
Well, and I mean, that's part of the gift giving experience, right? We go through these phases of there are people that we know what they'd like. And maybe even for ourselves. And then just the same, we might not know what we want and we might not know what another person wants. So we're going through this phase of being able to get somebody what is quote unquote on their list, whether they've put it on an actual list or not. You just know that they want that. Or you've got people that are just impossible to buy for whatever various reasons, whether it's because they buy things for themselves or they don't want anything. Or
so when we came up with the fact that we were going to talk about gift giving, the literally the only thing that I thought about ahead of time was it's so difficult to purchase gifts for people who have no hobbies, aka every single dad. They have no hobbies. They go to work and they watch television and you're just like, can't you be interested in something so that I can purchase it for you? Like,
oh,
stop it.
Truer.
Right? It's so annoying. Get a hobby.
I'm thankful because my dad is similar to me and he has like about 10 hobbies in his back pocket and 20 in his two front pockets. So, yeah, there's no end to the abundance of various different gifts that I can get him. And a lot of them line up with what I enjoy. I feel, though, that sometimes I buy him a gift that I would like, but ends up not being what he would probably prefer. But I was just like, ooh, this is a great deal. And it's something that I would enjoy. So obviously Dad would like it or whatever. And so, yeah, I definitely think I project myself onto certain gifts sometimes, but which is probably a whole nother psychological topic that we could dive into. But we've already done a lot of sessions where we talk about Greg's mind. So we won't do that any further. Yeah. So I think that that's something where my dad, luckily for me, it's usually he's one of the easiest people to buy gifts for. But yeah, you're right. There's definitely people out there who have very little hobbies. And it's so tricky. You're like, here's a pencil or something, you know, like it's a really nice one. So, yeah, I don't know. It's tricky.
Yeah, it's impossible because you're like, I love you to death, but I don't know how to give it. Or I don't know how to show it in gift giving because like you don't need anything. You don't want anything because you don't have any hobbies like or their hobbies are way too expensive for your current job. Your whole
too expensive salary. Or too niche.
Yeah. Like or they're really particular about them and you know that if you just went and got something for them regarding that hobby, they would be like, an avocado thing. Like I wanted one of these, but this is not the one that I wanted. You know, so.
Well, I'll say something about myself since all I've done is ask questions so far, really, but I've discovered that the more money that I make, so throughout the years of being a live-at-home high school student, purchasing my own Christmas or birthday gifts, etc., to having my first few jobs, which were, you know, barely minimum wage or a little bit fancier than that if I could luck into something for an extra buck an hour, to where I am now, the bigger that my annual income is, I start to find myself looking for gifts that cost more and more to give, and not because I feel like I have to give in reciprocation to what I earn, but it's more of a habit of, like, I'll use Amazon, for example, fake Christmas tree. I'm sure that you could come up with something that's like $10 or $15. And so if you were a starving university student that wanted a fake Christmas tree and couldn't spend a whole lot on it, but you had access to an Amazon Prime account, so free shipping, etc., and you just went and found a Christmas tree, you'd probably buy it and be content with it. And likely I could be content with the same thing, but part of me looks at those $15 ones and then starts to compare it to the $60 and even the $100 ones and then going, well, like if I can get it for $100 here, I can get one that's a little bit taller for like $125. I don't know how expensive fake Christmas trees are. Don't at
They're
me.
More than that.
But you know what I mean? Like you start to like look for gifts that are slightly more expensive because you can afford them. And then pretty soon you're in a scenario where even if you ever wanted to consider getting somebody something like a book as a Christmas gift, I can only speak for myself, but suddenly I go, no, a book's not enough. A book's only $25 or $35. You know, in your mind, you're like, I'm an adult and I need to be able to spend at least X amount of dollars. Mm-hmm. So when you get into a situation of a corporate gift giving kind of situation where you draw names from a hat and everybody buys one for the person in the family, or you even do it at your workplace and everybody buys like a little fun gift for people at their workplace. Often there's like a dollar amount attributed to that. And so when it's like $20, $25, if it's an employee or a coworker, you're like, you know, yeah, I guess I can find something for that much. But if it's a family member, you're like, what am I going to buy them? That's only $20. At least that's where I come from. So I won't claim that you all have the same feelings, but that's something that I struggle with annually.
Yeah. Mine's not always a struggle of like me viewing like how much money or like what worth my job is in like and then giving that appropriately necessarily. Mine is I'm a chronic people pleaser. You've already seen the symptoms. We talked about it in the elementary school and high school episodes when I talked about my teacher's pet need.
Yeah.
Chronic people pleaser. And so I feel like if I don't go above and beyond or if I give a somewhat lame or like a gift that you could tell that I didn't put a lot of effort into, then I feel like they'll view me differently. You know?
Right.
And so then I feel pressured to be like, okay, then I need to make sure I'm spending X amount of dollars or like putting more effort into this thing or whatever. But I also like acknowledge that we're privileged enough to be like, Greg and I are a two-income family. We both work and we don't have any kids. Right. So there's not any huge expenses in right. our lives, and we have the ability to give gifts and not worry about how we're going to make rent that month. But I do feel this pressure just from how people are going to view me as they open the gift.
Yeah. And I don't mean this whole topic to be anything of a guilt trip either. I think that it comes as a result of acknowledging exactly what you just said, is that we are privileged enough to be able to do this. And so really we're just riffing on what our experiences are with it. And I don't think that that should dissuade us from choosing to get together. And, you know, something that Holly and I have initiated in our friend group locally for in the last several years. It's not like a locked in annual thing that we do, but just something that we enjoy doing is getting together and like picking one of the people in our friend groups and then corporately giving them some kind of a gift. So whether that's money towards something or an actual gift, we have this like intention behind it. And that's why we give that, because out of, you know, like out of love for that person. So it's not out of a requirement because we're friends. If we had to give all of our friends gifts, I mean, yeah, we could probably find that many Kinder surprises because that's how far the budget would stretch. But yeah, you know, it's like, it's not a guilt tripping thing at all. It's just something we can and enjoy doing. And so that's why we do that. That's why we initiate that.
Yeah. So I think for me, one of the things that I've realized, and I think I'm kind of getting out of it, is just the habit of watching for deals throughout the year rather than having that kind of mad rush at Christmas time where you quickly try to frantically buy gifts mm-hmm. for people last minute sort of thing. Yeah. I've never usually had that issue because I'm always kind of the person who I'll find something on sale mm-hmm. and be like, oh, this person would probably like this, and then I'll buy it. And then I'll see another thing later, maybe a couple months later, and be like, oh, that same person would probably like this, and this is also on sale. And then together, they now have two gifts instead of one. I feel like I'm giving them a better gift because I've now given them two instead of one for the price of what normally would be one.
Yeah.
For the price of my sanity.
I've realized that usually they're on sale for a reason, and it's because the quality of them is not as great.
Okay, fair, yeah.
That's too bad.
I've slowly stopped that habit, but...
Is this why I got 3 shake weights last year?
yeah. No. Yeah, so that's why, like, I think I finally got through my box. I had, like, a cardboard box, like, filled with gifts. Oh. And, like, I think I now only have 2 gifts left. So,
you're my mom.
Yeah. So just beware out there, you listening or you on this podcast, you might be getting one of those one gifts. So
stuff that Greg's had stocked for 3.5 years now.
Yeah. It was a while ago that I bought some of those items. So yeah. So I see that as a fault now that we, especially now that I like, yeah, we're kind of in a place where we're doing a bit better financially. I'm not as like quick to look for those deals or hungry for the deals or anything like that. But yeah, like it was to the point where I would buy somebody like a bunch of like real cheap, like Walmart movies and think I was giving them a great gift, you know?
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Like, you got those for $2, Greg, but like, yeah, there's a definitive reason why that movie is $2. It got like 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. So,
so it's not about the thought that counts situation. Yeah. It's about the, they're just garbage gifts situation.
Yeah, I think thankfully I've had good family and friends who I think have understood the heart behind the gift, which is more, yeah, that I was passionate for searching out the deal. But yeah, anyways, so yeah, fair warning. Sorry, guys, there's a couple gifts left. So one of y'all might be getting one. Yeah. So
Greg, all right. Greg's stocking up tendencies have gone sour once or twice. And that is because once upon a time, Greg was convinced, as were most of the Rhymers, that I loved Jane Austen.
Oh, okay.
That I was a huge Jane Austen fan. I'm not sure how the news got out. I have read 0 Jane Austen in my lifetime. I like the one of the movies of Pride and Prejudice, but that's pretty much
that's
where
what
that
we
ends.
Latched onto. That was what we latched.
Oh yeah,
on
that's
to.
All that matters. If you like that movie, you're done.
Greg stocked up on the Jane Austen stuff for me, and then was slowly giving me
oh, no.
Jane Austen things that I somewhat appreciated
for years.
But they didn't.
No, not quite.
They
for
did
years,
not appear
but...
as thoughtful the next year.
And then other people saw those, and then they still yeah. continued to think that you like Jane Austen.
That's funny. Oh dear.
Yeah. So that's two strikes against me. So yeah, I've learned. Don't assume passions and don't hunt for deals all the time. Do not follow that siren's call of the sale.
I mean, that's not the worst thing ever, as long as you're actually getting something nice when you find the deal. Like, it would be real nice if we had already bought all the things that we needed to purchase by now. But we have bought 0% of the things that we need to purchase by now. So.
Well, and I am all for finding deals, good deals on things, and you can give them away as gifts, and they're just as quality items or experiences as they would have been if they weren't on a deal. Like a deal doesn't make a gift terrible. In fact, things like Black Friday and Cyber Monday, those are prime opportunities to stock up on or tackle a good chunk of your list, especially if you're looking ahead to the deals that are coming out and being advertised ahead of those weekends, then you can plan your shopping accordingly and you can get in on the flash deals that are always 99% gone by the time you log in at 5 a.m. or whatever. But the one thing that was driven home to me as I was growing up was that you shouldn't buy anything for yourself, specifically in regards to Christmas, within like a month and a half, even 2 months of Christmas, which sounds outrageous because it's 2 months. Like, you can buy all kinds of things in 2 months. It doesn't have to be Christmas related.
You were not taught that as a child. I have been trying to teach you that because I was taught that as a child. And for the first we've been together 9 years. For the first like 5 and a half of them, Chris would purchase the thing that I was going to purchase for him in November. And I'd be like,
that's
you have
so
to
frustrating.
Stop. Yeah, you have to stop. I have a great idea for you. And I know you want it. And then he'd get it. And it would always be some movie, probably, or a book or whatever. But he actually wanted it. And it was something that I had noted. And he would purchase it for himself. You can't do
that's
that.
So
don't buy yourself anything for 2 months. Before Christmas.
Now, I prefaced my comment by saying things that were driven home to me. I didn't say that I learned from them.
Now they're driven home. Maybe.
Yeah, there's been a number of times where Ashlyn has gone to purchase something and I've been like, no, you can't purchase that.
They're always little things, though, because Greg loves giving me little things. And so then I'm like, oh, this is cute. I should get it. Not thinking that this is a gift for me.
And then I'm like, no, you shouldn't get it. And then Ashlyn's like, does this get added to the long list of gift items that I've already found out about before the actual gift giving?
Currently, I'm at 4 of things I know that Greg has bought me that are in that box.
For just this Christmas?
Well, he'll spread them out. He'll just be like, oh, you know about it? Guess it gets waited until birthday.
Valentine's
until
Day.
Until you've forgotten about it. Yeah.
Birthday. Exactly. I can spread it out like peanut butter. Yeah.
That's so funny.
When it's nice and out of date.
Yep.
Oh, goodness. Chris is excellent at surprising me because he is very good at giving unique and thoughtful gifts that also I think he finds them because he's on the internet like all the time. And so he's like, oh, this weird like box thing. He sent me a mystery box that was based on the Adventure Zone podcast.
Yeah.
And basically I got to be like a wizard.
Oh,
that
fun.
Was learning in one of the characters, like, and I'm using air quotes, characters' school of magic because he's like a terrible teacher. And it was super fun and I loved it so much. But like, I think he found it just because he was randomly on, what did you find it on? Like that site that you have to pay for things in order for them to make them? What's that one called?
Oh, any site.
No, that they're not made before you pay for them.
The internet.
Like, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm pretty sure it was like the Mysterious Shipping Company or something like that.
Kickstarter?
Oh, I see. Kickstarter is what I was thinking of, yes. Where you all gotta pay for it before it actually gets made, you know? I think it's a really good description.
I actually don't mind backing things on kickstarting sites and then using those as gifts. The issue with that is, and I've done it for Holly a couple of times, is that they tend to come at odd times. So if you back them in like, let's say August, sometimes they don't even get produced until January. And by that point, it's both past Christmas and her birthday. So do I just give it to her out of the blue? Yes. Or maybe I can leave it until the following Christmas or something. So I get into a bit of a situation like Greg, where I have not a huge stockpile, but just a couple that are in the queue. And I don't know which one's coming first. Yep. They've been shipping for 4 months or something. Yeah. And so it's just kind of, it's as much as a surprise for me when they arrive.
Well, there was one time when I had a Kickstarter item come in and it did have my name on it, but
I know
the problem is I didn't recognize the company at all. And I was like, I feel that this is like a gift from somebody for me. So I was like, Ashlyn, you should go open this up. Goes into the other room, opens it up, and is like, Greg? I was like, yeah. And she's like, I don't think this is for you. And so sure enough, yeah, it was a gift for her for that Christmas.
Greg had bought me.
That I had bought you. Cute. I just didn't recognize the company name. And I was like, ah. So anyways, yeah. So never again.
I love it.
I will always open boxes that have my name on it, regardless. I'm not giving those to Ashlyn ever. So, yeah.
That's funny.
That's point three of, like, how I get to know all of the gifts I'm getting for Christmas ahead of time. Yeah.
Yep. Is he lets you literally open them ahead of time?
Yes. Yeah, you still have to open it.
Unintentionally.
Yeah.
I'm just going to buy a stamp that says Merry Christmas and stamp all your mail so that in case you accidentally open one of them.
Utility bills. Merry Christmas.
Utility bill. Merry Christmas.
Pay for your water.
Yeah.
Are you a fellow creative and you're asking yourself, where did they get that absolutely banging intro music for their podcast? Because you want some for your own project? Well, we found it on Soundstripe, a royalty-free music licensing site with thousands of songs and updates to that library nearly each week. Even better than their high-quality content is their sound effects and stock video libraries that they've just added. And better still, you can get 10% off your first subscription when you use our coupon code HOUSEBOUND10. That's housebound10. That's it. Check out all that Soundstripe has to offer today by heading to soundstripe.com or clicking the link in the description. Happy creating.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Discussion question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do gifts require cards?
No.
Yes or no?
No. No.
Maybe.
No.
Are they gift cards?
You're hilarious.
No, like the gift is separate. Do they require a card? And if so, when?
No.
I don't think they require
one. Gift requires a card.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with cards.
Cards are the worst. You don't know what to do with them afterwards. They go in the recycling. I'm not going to keep that forever.
My family, they were actually really big on you make your own card, don't buy a card from the store. So it was literally like you fold a printer paper into quarters, then you have a card and you draw a picture on the front. something memorable or something relating to the person or something relating to the joke you have inside the card if you want to go the traditional route. And then inside the card, you write a nice message, something really kind, considerate. And then you might add like a puzzle or a maze or something to like inspire them some sort of a, I don't know. It was, sometimes we would do that.
It's inexpensive, but there's a little bit of thought put into it. It's not just like a label.
Exactly. At the back of all of my cards, I had like GR ink or something. So like my initials and everything like that. So. So it looked very professional. My dad was actually the more of the artist in the family. So I aspired to draw like him. Never was able to. Stick figures was where it ended.
My rule on cards is that I've given up on Christmas cards. They don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've given up on birthday cards. They don't happen. The only cards I still give out are wedding gifts because there's a specific basket for them. So I feel like my wedding gift needs to have a card, but that's pretty much it.
Okay. Do you feel required to take a card to a wedding, or do you just feel like whatever gift you bring has to include a card?
Whatever gift I bring has to include a card.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you didn't bring a gift, I don't know if there would be a situation in which you wouldn't bring a gift to a wedding, but if you didn't bring a gift, would you feel fine with not bringing a card?
No, I would still want a print card.
Okay. I'm just curious.
I feel like that a card actually has a purpose, though, at those kinds of events, like a wedding or a bridal shower or something like that, because the bride, and possibly the groom, I guess, want to send out thank you cards afterwards. And you can't thank somebody if you don't know that they bought it for you. You know? And yeah. So the card,
you need
actually
an identification
that
it's from you.
So like you can do what we do and we just like write it on there or whatever. Like I always write on my Christmas presents, like on the actual wrapping, to Chris, love Holly, like on the actual gift.
Yeah.
Because the Christmas cards, like if you want to write somebody a letter with like good sentiment in it, I'm all for that. That's great. But I never know what to do with a Christmas card that's like half sentimental and half funny. And it's just like, what am I going to do with this for the rest of my life? Like, this isn't like a letter that you thought about writing because you thought about writing it to me. You thought about writing it because you were like, this is required to put on this gift. Like,
That's so true, though. I never know which cards to throw out and which to keep.
All of them. Throw them all away. That's what I do.
I think I mostly end up throwing out all my cards at the... Sorry, Mom and Dad. But at the same time, though, I do keep the ones that have something in them for quite a while. Like, I'll probably... Like, there's probably about a year expiry date on them, but... And then I'll pick them up and read them. I'll just make sure that I've read them, because I think the one most awkward thing, I don't know if you guys have ever been to this, where somebody will open up a card and then read it, all of it, at the event. And if there's lots written on there, you know, it's awkward to just sit in silence while they read the card.
Or they read it out loud and it's too personal weird.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they have to like stop halfway through because they're like, I don't think everyone needs to know this.
Yeah. It's all awkward. Any way you do that is awkward.
So that's why I'll keep my cards because I actually haven't read them when I open them. I'll just have skim them real quick. And usually my parents will actually write quite a bit in them. So then I'll take some time actually like sit, read the card, and then I'll probably end up reading it a little bit later just because it's really thoughtful and, you know, so.
So then are you folks the kind of people that would never give something to somebody on the DL, like as a secret gift, like a ding dong ditch, leave it on their porch, not let them know who it's from, or mail them something with, I don't know if you can mail somebody something with no return address, but mail it from an address that's your grandparents so that they don't know it.
The last time Greg and I ding dong ditched was less than a week ago.
Did you leave?
But we never leave it anonymous. Often we'll just like wave and drive away as soon as they open the door.
Just to like tease them?
Yep.
Okay.
It's just enough to say like, haha, this was fun, bye, enjoy your gift, but without actually having to say any of it.
Yeah.
Or if they're like your enemies, then they're worried about what might be in it because they know it was you that left it.
All of our enemies.
Yeah.
All your arch nemeses. I don't think I've ever ding dong ditched.
Really?
I've left things for people where I know that they will find them, like in their mailbox, but I've never rung the doorbell and then run away. I just give them to them in person or by mail or, yeah, that's all.
I think, so the last time we ding dong ditched was like less than a week ago. And then within a week before that, I also ding dong ditched somebody else with a gift. I didn't actually ring their doorbell though, because they weren't home. So I just left it at their door. But that's a regular habit for me.
Oh, so you're a hoodlum.
Yeah.
I did sneak into their backyard to leave it because their front yard looked a tiny bit too sketchy that somebody might take it.
And this is something that's that fair. I must say is mostly from Ashlyn's parents that she's gotten this from. Like, our family unit didn't necessarily get this from my family. Mm. This is definitely something that the Harms messages tend to do quite frequently.
But so fun. Yeah.
If you know somebody that really enjoys surprises, I think some of the funnest gifts that you could get them are, and there's probably a million sites that you can go to, but you can sign them up for like a monthly subscription to something and just not tell them. I mean, it's your choice whether you want to make it something appropriate or not, I guess, but it's your money you're also wasting if that's the case, right? So you just be a little bit careful with what you're doing. But I've done it a few times where I've subscribed somebody without their knowledge to something, and then I'll either tell them or I won't, and they'll just have received, you know, it could be like a once a month thing, or it could be a quarterly thing. And then as long as you don't forget about it coming off your credit card, then it gets canceled after a year or half a year or whatever. Otherwise, you pay for it eternally, I guess. But I like doing that because if it's something that you know that they like, then they'll get prolonged enjoyment out of it. And often after the first one, they don't know that there's a second or third one coming. Mm-hmm. And so then that's even funner because you might have witnessed that or missed witnessing it the first time, but then you hear about it for sure the second or third time. Like, these things keep showing up, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. I think you've done that to both Greg and I.
Yeah, I think we have.
Oh, really? What did I do it to Greg?
You got me a board game magazine.
Right. I totally forgot about that.
But that was one where it wasn't a surprise because you were like, has it come yet?
It had been so long.
Yeah, it took forever.
Yeah, no, I had forgotten that I had done that. I wasn't doing it to earn praise publicly on our very widely syndicated podcast, but
yes,
it is widely syndicated, just not widely listened to.
And you are highly praised, Chris.
Yeah. no response. Yeah, that was super awkward.
I don't know how to respond to that. I'm honored.
So awkward.
I will admit, though, that my intentions behind the gift I gave Ashlyn were subtly skewed to the fact that it was a gift that I knew I would also enjoy partaking of. And so there was no requirement for her to share that gift with more people. But if she was to share the gift with more people, then I knew that Holly and myself could stand to benefit from it. So it's a lot more maniacal than
maniacal. Yes,
what a great master plan you and I had.
Oh, I just assumed it was Chris who came up with the idea, though.
It was not.
Ooh, twist of fate.
It was actually not. I don't give gifts very well, so the good ones I have to take credit for.
I don't think I ever stole.
I did good on that one.
I don't think I ever stole credit from you. I just think that we kept it hush hush and never talked about it until Ashlyn mentioned it, and so
until right now, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Right now.
True. Well, speaking of surprise gifts, long story short, I actually ended up with an extra delivery from the company that I and Holly purchased.
Thank you.
Ashlyn's gifts from. So what we had actually purchased, Ashlyn, was a temporary subscription to an escape room in a box monthly mailing. And so the company's name is Finder Seekers Mysteries. Now, they are not sponsoring us to say this at all, but since I did end up with an extra box, I had reached out to them and asked if it was okay if we just gave it away, because I want somebody to end up with it that is going to enjoy it. So I feel like what better opportunity to spread the love than to our listeners that are from wherever in the world. So we want to actually ship this to one person somewhere in the world that is listening to our podcast. And we don't know exactly what the mystery box is. We've done a couple of boxes from this company, but each one is themed with a different location. So we did one that was Beijing, was it?
Beijing.
We did one that was Beijing, and then we also did one that was a Paris theme. Both of them were really fun, interactive, both online and physical elements to it. And so I know that small groups of people are all that are permitted in many places right now, just due to the nature of social distancing and trying to stay healthy around the Christmas season when lots of larger gatherings are normal. If you enjoy puzzles and you want a nice laid back, chill night of cooperative puzzling, this is probably a good gift for you. And we'd love to give that to you. So here's all you need to do in order to be in the running for this giveaway. You can email at us at thehousebound podcast@gmail.com. You can go to anchor.fm/housebound. And there's a message function that's embedded into the site. You can leave us a 1-minute message, or you can click on the message link in the description of any of our podcast episodes, wherever you listen to this. And then there's always social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Shoot us a DM. And we just want to hear from you about a gift-giving tradition or something that's unique with the way that you and your family or your friends do gift-giving. Doesn't have to be long and complicated. We just want to hear from you, and we will pick from the pool of whoever responds by December 8th at 11:59 and 59 seconds in the PM CST. And we'll make some kind of announcement in the day or two following to prove that we actually did draw names or something to that effect. And we'll get a hold of you privately for your contact info in order to send you that shipment. We can't guarantee that it'll get to you by the holidays, but we can promise you that sometime shortly thereafter, you will receive all that you need to enjoy a couple of hours with a small group of people working together to solve puzzles and just making memories. If you really like what you see, or you want to know more about Finder Seekers, you can also, in the meantime, head to finderseekers.com and you can look over their site. They often have some kind of deals available for new subscribers, so make sure you check their site out. And you can also find them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well. So just a thank you to them for allowing us to do this giveaway. Thank you to them for providing us with two great experiences with their boxes right off the bat. It was the first time that we'd ever checked them out, and we are definitely not disappointed by the quality of the content and the pricing, and we don't think that you will be either. We love these escape room in a boxes, and we've done many of them from different companies in the last couple of years. And we just find that they make really good, memorable gifts because they are not only an activity, but they are sort of like a hybrid gift and activity or event at all rolled into one. And we were talking earlier about whether big gifts are the things that we like, or small gifts, and many of them are the things just that we prefer.
End after them.
I think it ultimately comes down to each person individually deciding what makes a gift memorable to them.
Yeah, I think the question of what makes a gift memorable is actually something that I've thought a bit about. What are your guys' thoughts on memorable gifts?
I have a very memorable gift. And it has to do with that box that my mother keeps that is just full of stuff that she got throughout the year. But I think I was out of high school already, and we had gone to Lion King on Broadway Well, it wasn't on Broadway. It was Broadway's Lion King, but it came to Edmonton. And so we saw that as a family with a friend of mine. I was super pumped to see it. And that's after fun. We saw it, it was very cool. And after we saw it, my mom was like, do you want the album? Like, we should go and get it. And so we stood in line for a long time and she bought the album and gave it to me. And then that Christmas, and I love my mom so much. She's so funny. That Christmas, one of my gifts was the Lion King album because she was like, I just remembered how much you liked it. And I just thought that you should have the music for yourself. And I was like, thanks so much. I love this gift. Even though you've given it to me before. Oh, dear.
That's funny.
It was like the best, one of the most memorable things that I've ever experienced. Just because she very genuinely knew that I loved it and like wanted me to enjoy it more. And
so she gave it to you a second time.
She had totally forgotten that we had purchased it already.
Oh, that's so funny.
It was great.
Yeah, let's get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So I think that's the sentiment behind that gift was really what made me remember it.
I nice. Do like yeah. gifts that come with a story. Of yeah, like how they definitely. Came across this or what made them think of me when they got this particular thing or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what the thing is, it doesn't have to be an event in and of itself, even if they have a story of how they came across it. That's always kind of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if it's some crappy little trinket that all you're going to do is let it get dust on your desk or something, but they're like, this is the crazy story of why you are related yeah, to this exactly. thing. And you have to own this.
It's like a game of telephone where you're like, how does this last word relate to the first word? But there is a chain of events. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting. I find that some of the more memorable gifts I have are those that where I'm given a gift that is, yeah, practical. And that I use like every day. Like, for example, I have a Fitbit. So like, you know, like that was a gift that I received. You know, I use it every day. So every time I look at it, like that's, you know, that reminds me of who gave it to me. Same thing with like, I have a messenger bag, like one of those kind of single strap shoulder bags that I think it's like a Swiss Army bag. Ashton gave it to me. And that's something that I use quite frequently. In fact, I use it so much that it's become as holy as a Bible, but in the more patchy and the very much falling apart kind of way. So, yeah. And that's something that, yeah, like I use every time. And so it's that reminder of the person who's given it to me. So I think those are, oddly enough, things that are memorable, but mostly just because of their presence in my life continually. Mm. So, yeah. And I often find that sometimes, like, when I love getting books, but sometimes, like, if I get a book, I actually, like, a couple years down the road, I'll forget who's given it to me sometimes because I've gotten so many books from people and that gets kind of mixed up. Whereas something that's more unique, like, kind of more like a practical gift, that latches on to me more in terms of who's actually given that to me.
I think two of the more memorable gifts from my childhood are from my parents for that reason, that it's who gave it to me. They knew me the best growing up, obviously, right? And even when I thought that we didn't see eye to eye on things because I had such different opinions on what little I knew about life, they still understood the things that I was interested in. They still knew me a lot better than I probably was willing to admit. And it was either my 12th or my 14th birthday when I walked into my bedroom downstairs one day and there was just a bicycle there. And that was fun. The gift for that year, for that birthday. That was the bike that I had. And I had that bike for until I left home. And it was well used. It wasn't like biking was something that I was super into, but I used that bike to get to and from school. I would bike down to the river with friends and bike along some of the trails there, even if you weren't supposed to bike along them.
What a rebel.
Yeah, just had many, many additional great memories that bike facilitated. The second one was when I got my acoustic guitar, which I still have. Mm. And that was a great gift as well. Our family was and still is relatively musical. I think we've talked about it in a past episode, and there was a lot of encouragement for all of us as kids to get into some kind of music and continue some kind of music practice throughout our lives. And so guitar was something that at one point I was interested in and was using one of my dad's guitars, and they thought, hey, why not one for himself? And I still have that guitar now, and that's the guitar I still use now. And it's a perfectly fine guitar. I'm not a professional musician, and so I've had no specific need to upgrade or move the guitar along. It works just fine for what I need it to do, but it's also instilled in me the sense of considering gifts to give to other people that not would be memorable for them because they would remember that I gave it to them, but be memorable to them because it would impact their lives. So I have also gifted musical instruments to people that I feel, you know, are along that journey to benefit from that instrument in some way, shape, or form, or just be generally intentional about other gifts, whether they're big or small. And I think that that is a bit to do with my growth as an individual, is seeing the value in the things that you're giving other people. Not that you can't give people random little gifts here and there for no good reason. I totally fully support that. If you DM us, I'll give you my mailing address, no problem.
That might be dangerous. You might not give the gifts that you want.
Okay, I'll give you a mailing address. I don't know. But I've just come to understand the value in being intentional with whatever gift giving I'm involved with. And I feel as though I appreciate the giving of gifts more when I've come to understand that than when it was a chore, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting kind of reflecting on gift giving, broadly. This whole episode has been kind of interesting. And there's a theologian who wrote a book called Paul and the Gift, which looks at gift giving in the New Testament. But he has a little bit of an intro here. I haven't read the book. I hear it's wonderful. But
Ashlyn, you can put that on your list.
I did read.
Oh, it already is.
Yeah. I did read page one of the book because it was on. It was free on Google eBooks. So, here's a little quote. He says, "A modern Western dictionary tells us that gift means something handed over gratuitously for nothing. But even the slightest knowledge of antiquity would inform us that gifts were given with strong expectations of return. Indeed, precisely in order to elicit a return and thus to create or enhance social solidarity. Those of us brought up in the modern West are likely to be surprised or even shocked by the gift practices of non-Western cultures today. We should expect a similar or even greater surprise when we encounter ancient practices and opinions." So, end quote. I thought that was interesting. Just because he kind of starts with, yeah, that bit of a description in terms of how normally this is how it's defined as something like that's given for nothing, right? But I think what's interesting about even gift giving within our culture today, in the Western culture, is that we still sort of expect something.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if we've given a gift.
Or you feel bad.
Yeah, we feel bad if we haven't gotten somebody a Christmas gift and they gave us one. We feel bad also if they gave us something really fancy and we gave them like a little toy car or something, you know?
Yeah.
Let me throw one at you. Surprise. Have you ever had to ask for a gift for yourself? That's even worse.
What do you mean?
Interesting.
I don't understand the situation in which that could be a thing.
So a good example of this would be at my job, we have quarterly goals that we have to achieve. And at the end of those quarters of the year, we are rewarded for that. But if somebody is giving you a, you know, dollar value that you have to try to meet, I was not raised in a household where asking for things like gifts, even if people were prompting you to ask for it, like writing out a Christmas list for or a wish list for the holidays, was considered appropriate. And so it takes a lot of mental effort for me to kind of get over that and be willing to oblige them with their request.
Yeah.
That is something that you are learning, because my family always does lists.
Mm-hmm.
And when I ask Chris to make a list, he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Earlier today, I was like, give me 3 things you want for Christmas. And he was like, do they have to be realistic? Like, panicking.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just interesting that while we might look at like ancient culture and see how traditionally gift giving was meant to kind of initiate like a relationship, and that there was kind of like a hierarchy, and like that you giving a gift to somebody meant that you believed that they had something of worth to give back to you, and kind of there was like a status thing happening. I think we still, oddly enough, I think we still have aspects of that today, where gift giving kind of represents our relationship and represents what meaning that we found in that relationship that we're having, you know, because we're like, like, for example, if me and Ashlyn give a gift to somebody, then that is us expressing to them what we find of value in our relationship in a way. Or at least that we say that your relationship holds value to us enough to that we have thought of you and have picked this item, which is a token of that aspect of it. I don't know how to describe that, but.
And so an appropriate response would be to feel guilty about that and give you something out of forced intention.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Give you something back?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's interesting because we kind of sometimes consider gifts as something that have no strings attached, but they do sort of have there's definitely rules to gift giving within our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's feelings involved, and there's, you know, some can be very strong negative feelings, and some can be, you know, very good. And so I think that that's something where, like, for example, this podcast has in a sense been a gift for each other within this podcast, because we've given up our time and our experiences to be able to kind of share this time together as the four of us. And oddly enough, that then has been a chance for us to then give this podcast then to the world out there, whoever listens to it. And so in some way, if you don't receive a Christmas box or a mystery puzzle box from us this year, you at least have been given the gift of this podcast. Whether you appreciated it or not, it still represents our relationship with you guys. Oh, and so we appreciate our fans. We appreciate those who have responded. So feel free to leave us a message and let us know what some of your gift-giving experiences have been. And we'll be happy to listen. And we can read those on our next podcast and be good to hear from you guys. Feel free to either email at us, DM at us, at our bunch of different social platforms that we have. We got Facebook, we got Twitter, we got Instagram. You can go to our Anchor FM page and please subscribe. Leave us a review if that platform that you listen to us has a review. We are on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, a bunch of different other podcast apps, especially if you have an RSS feed that you're using to your app that you use. Yeah, so thank you guys for listening, and happy holidays, season's greetings from the Housebound Podcast. Ho, 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 ho.